It's our number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. A little overcast, a little bit cooler this weekend. Temperatures into the mid to low 60s. None of this 75 to 80, which was way too warm for me.
It was, yeah.
And we should be seeing an increase in some winds. There's a wind advisory for tonight and tomorrow in Sonoma County with gusts possibly 35 to 50 miles per hour, which of course puts us all on pins and needles. So be careful around your property. Give it the once around, loose shingles, low overhanging branches, umbrellas that are still up on your patio. Take those down. Row covers that maybe are covering some sensitive seeds. Lattice work maybe that may blow off things in your garden that you've staked that are not anchored to a fence. Maybe make sure they're pounded into the soil securely. Just be cautious and be aware as we see some wind activity for tonight and tomorrow. Okay.
I'm also thinking what I have to do. My little 3-inch pots, my little plastic pots that I transplant my seedlings into, they're sitting outside. So those will be gone if I don't move them undercover. So any kind of like lightweight pots that you've been stacking up someplace, and you know, like you said, Steve, just walk around the yard and you know, you'll be surprised what you find out there that, you know, move undercover.
And I'm just, while I'm talking, I'm thinking my barbecue grill cover is just sitting on the patio. I should put that back on the grill also, where it will be blowing into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
636-1350. We cleared the calls from hour number one. No one left on hold, which is wonderful. We can start fresh with calls for Gwen Kilcher, who writes the popular Plant Doctor column in our local Press Democrat newspaper, the first and third Saturdays of every month with Dana Lozano. They've co-written that column for close to 30 years, answering gardening questions. And Gwen has been our permanent co-host at Garden Talk since 2007. And she's more than happy to take garden calls this morning at 636-1350 for a one-on-one. Any and all gardening questions, thinking of transplanting, is it too late to prune, too late to storm and spray, maybe looking for a landscape suggestion? Any gardening questions, we'd love to hear from you this morning. A success story over the summer and fall. Things to look forward to in the spring. Is it too early to start seeds? Fill in the blank. You name it, we'll tackle it this morning on Garden Talk, 636-1350. Or if you want to shoot us a picture, you have a plant that you love identified, shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. It's really as simple as that to communicate with us on Garden Talk. Hey, I have a couple pairs of tickets to the Cloverdale Citrus Fair to give away to some callers this hour. All you need to do is get in with a question or an email, and we'll have tickets for you to join us at the Cloverdale Citrus Fair next weekend. You don't have to join us. We're going to be broadcasting the shows live Saturday morning. But if you want to go up on Friday or Sunday or the long President's Day holiday on Monday, it's up to you. 636-1350. At 11:05, Chef John Ash, we will be talking with Jeff Stanford, the owner of Stanford Inn by the Sea up in beautiful Mendocino. Along with that, Eco Lodge is the Raven's Restaurant, which was the first all-vegan Eco Lodge restaurant hotel combination in the United States of America. They've been up there since the early 1980s. It's a remarkable property. And Jeff will be in, who created almost all these recipes along with his wife and the natural healer clinician who works at the inn. He'll be joining us this morning also. And we have an autographed copy of the Raven's Cookbook to give away to one KSRO Good Food Hour listener at noon today. So lots of good listening on the show this morning. 636-1350 is the number to get in with questions or comments. Don from Petaluma is in first. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Don. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, I was wondering, is it too early to plant my tomatoes and bell peppers and that? I've already got potatoes and stuff in. So.
Well, you know, this is weird, Don, because right before we turned on the mics at a little bit after 10 this morning, Gwen just said to me, you know, we should talk about planting tomatoes and peppers. Isn't that what you just said?
That is what I said. So you're ready to start your seeds, is what you're saying.
They're ready to go, yeah. I'm ready to go in there, put them in the ground.
Wait a minute. You already have starts?
No, I've got the beds ready to put the seeds in. I start them in the beds.
Oh, you direct sow right outside.
Yeah, no transplantation. Well, actually, what I do is I go along and I deep bury them later on. I let them grow up to about a couple of shoots, and then I dig a hole a little bit deeper and put about a spade down and bury them up a little bit.
So wait a minute. The seeds are already germinating. They get to be a certain size. Then you dig out the plant and then...
I lay them in rows, and then I take the rows and I sow the ones from the rows into the areas that I need to sow them into.
Wow.
I sow them in the garden pots.
Well, you only do this with tomatoes, right? Nothing else?
I do everything that I've got, yeah.
Wait, you bury the stems of peppers and eggplants?
Oh, no. I do that kind of planting.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're way too early to get those warm season vegetables in the ground. I'm sure it's going to drop. I mean, the evening temperatures are going back down into the 30s, mid-30s, and those plants do not like that at all. So when they stay too cold for too long, they just end up stop growing permanently, and then you have stunted plants. So if you're going to direct sow outside, you might want to wait. You'll have to wait until the temperature of the soil is up to like 65 degrees at least. And, I mean, you could cover it with a clear plastic. That'll help warm up the soil.
Well, I did it this early in the season. I usually use hot caps, you know, put the hot caps over them.
Okay. That works. Well, if you want to start those seeds in the soil now and put those hot caps over it, get a little thermometer and stick it in there to make sure that the temperature is warm enough to get the seeds to germinate and to keep those plants alive. So what's your hurry? I'm curious.
I have tomatoes by 4th of July.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, you've done this before then, it sounds like.
Well, I used to start them with a hot coil under a little 4-inch like a table planter, and then I put a cap over the top of that and do it in lights.
Okay.
Start them in February. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you could do whatever you want to get those seeds out there in the garden and keep them warm. That's the main thing. Keep them warm and make sure that the soil is not soaking wet all the time when we're going to have rain coming. So
I think that great drainage here. We're at the top of a hill. It's sandy loam. It's perfect.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you sound like you really know what you're doing, and I want to hear how successful you are, because I know you will be, when these seedlings start coming up. Keep us posted on this progress. I think that's great.
I hear you guys every week, so.
Well, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn.
Jeez, I want you to keep us posted because, boy, you're putting in so much effort and everything to get the first tomato in the state of Northern California, so... I want to hear. What else are you wait? Besides tomatoes, what else are you sowing directly right now?
Probably right now, I probably do my onion sets and pretty much just everything. You know, I was going to put everything over the next 3 weeks. I was going to put everything in.
Okay.
Everything other than the corn. No corn, you know.
Not corn.
That's about it.
Cucumbers?
Not
squashes?
Cucumbers. They'll be in within 2 weeks, yeah.
Wow. Oh, you have to keep us.
All the rest, yeah.
You have to keep us informed. I want to hear. Okay. I want to hear how well you're doing.
Okay. It's going to be the update from Doc every few weeks on how he's doing. Thanks for the call, Doc.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Wow.
Well, we'll have to see if he's successful. We're going to have to pay a visit down to Petaluma and see how he's doing this.
I couldn't do what he's doing and take the shortcut and not start seeds indoors. I'd mess it up for sure.
Well, I guess he's more adventurous
and experienced,
and he's done this before.
Yep.
From Petaluma, let's jet up to Windsor. Lisa, it is your turn. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I have a plant called, and I'm not sure if this is the name, but I think it's called Amazon Parrot plant. It's got an orange blossom on it that's kind of unusual. I was just curious, if I take cuttings, can I start a new plant by just sticking it in the ground?
Well, I don't know what Amazon Parrot is. Did you buy it at a nursery around here?
I did buy it at a nursery, and I can't remember which one. It was a couple of maybe 5 years ago. And the reason I bought it in the first place was because I saw it at Kaiser. It kind of spills over the containers, and it has a really beautiful orange blossom that's really weird looking but really pretty, and when I looked it up online, of course. That's the name that came up.
Amazon Parrot. What, how tall? How tall is the plant?
It is a ground cover.
Okay.
Sort of.
Ground cover. The leaves look like.
They are little spikes, lots of them. It's almost fern-like.
You know, it almost sounds like lotus.
I don't know. I'll look that up.
Mike, look up lotus. I'm going to have
lotus,
look up
lotus. L-O-T-U-S, look
up
that.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing we can find for Amazon parrot plant. There's lots of input for Amazon parrots. But not an Amazon plant.
So this is a ground cover. It blooms during the summer. So it's not doing anything now, right?
Right, right.
If it's what I'm thinking it is, then it's pretty frost sensitive. And depending on how cold the winter is, how badly it dies back or not.
Right.
So I don't think, I can't answer that because I want to make sure that it's this particular plant.
Yeah, I definitely have to cover it. I mean, it has to be underneath the eaves and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't like frost.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Yeah, lotus is what's coming to mind. Can you keep, if it is what I think it is, then no, you can't divide it or anything. If you wanted to be, I don't even think you can take cuttings from this. If you did, if you could. I don't know when you would take these cuttings and how and this and that. So could you keep listening and we'll get back to you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, could I send you a picture
Yes.
of what it looks like.
Why didn't I think of that? I should have just said send me a picture.
I didn't either.
No, that's why we're here talking still. And okay, but even though it's not flowering, once I look at that plant, I'll be able to tell you what it is.
Yes, good.
And then,
so I will email it.
Okay, to Steve.
Uh-huh.
Steve@ksro.com.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Great.
And I'll let you know. Keep listening.
Terrific. Yes, I will. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks for your call, Lisa. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We could take more calls. Just cleared the line. 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Marin Sanitary Service is now hiring professional commercial drivers to join their team. Marin Sanitary Service is the main refuse and recycling hauler for Central Marin County. Have a commercial license, clean driving record, interested in driving our state-of-the-art collection fleet while earning a competitive wage and excellent benefits? Full-time driver and helper positions are open now. Go to marinsanitaryservice.com. That's marinsanitaryservice.com. MarinSanitaryService.com, Equal Opportunity Employer.
Hey, Sonoma County. This is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans, and I'm proud to present a loan program exclusively offered by Bay Equity. We call it Giving to Heroes. Giving to Heroes is a loan program offered to our local heroes, including firefighters, teachers, police officers, public safety, veterans, and healthcare professionals. Active or retired, Giving to Heroes from Bay Equity Home Loans is giving back to those who serve our country and our local community. If you're considering buying or selling or even refinancing your home, you may be able to save thousands of dollars. For details and availability of this wonderful program, please visit the Giving to Heroes website at givingtoheroes.net or call us at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans. Call 583-8100.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 769888. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight, California Finance Lender Law, and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
Were you involved in the wildfires? Hopefully the feeling of being overwhelmed has decreased and you're now in a place where you can think of what to do next. Join me and hundreds of others by attending a meeting to have a chat with James France and his attorneys. Jim is an expert at wildfire cases and he's won millions for clients against companies just like PG&E. He's also been selected as a top lawyer by U.S. News for the last 8 years. And with the firms of McNicholas & McNicholas and Bridgeford, Gleason & Artinian, they've joined forces to fight PG&E for us. They'll also help you maximize your insurance, which in itself is invaluable. Plus, they're charging the lowest fees of all the law firms that I've spoken to. CaliforniaWildfireLawGroup.com 707-236-6316. Hablamos Español. Next meetings will take place on the 10th and 11th of February from 10 to 4 at the Hyatt Regency, 170 Railroad Street, Street in Santa Rosa. CaliforniaWildfireLawGroup.com. The legal team with heart that's on your side.
This testimonial is not a guarantee regarding your case.
Servicios legales brindados por medio de asistentes legales que no son abogados.
James France, Patrick McNicholas, and Richard Bridgeford approve this message.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Patchy sunshine today, cloudy, a little overcast, highs in the mid-60s around Sonoma County, and a wind advisory for tonight and tomorrow with gusts possibly in the 35 to 50 mile per hour range. And of course, that's concerning for all of us. So take care, a little precautionary walk around the property, making sure everything looks like where it should be and that there's no props in your yard or garden or plants that are going to suddenly end up a half a mile away. Just do that this afternoon so you can sleep through the night as best as possible. So we have a new little feature here on Garden Talk. It's called Only Things Gwen Would Do Around the Yard or Garden. Gwen, do you have a first entry?
I can't talk to you off the air, can I, Steve?
There's no secrets on Garden Talk this morning.
Absolutely not. Obviously, no. Okay, so we were just talking about what I'm going to do today. I have this big, magnificent oak tree in our yard. And then for some reason, here comes all this ivy. And I don't know where it came from or what, but this ivy is just loving it underneath there. So I don't use any herbicides or, you know, any chemicals or anything. And I'm not about to dig this stuff out because it's a good sized patch of it. So you know what I'm going to do? And I'm going to experiment. And I'm going to be like Dawn. I'm going to keep everybody posted as to how this is doing. I'm going to take my horse's fresh horse manure, and I'm going to dump it on top of this stuff and see what happens. I mean, I can get wheelbarrows of this and then just dump it like almost like a compost pile thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could be like 2 or 3 feet high. And I'm going to see if that takes care of this stuff.
You don't think it will invigorate it?
Not if it's the manure on top of it is like 2+ feet deep.
Oh, okay.
You know, just take a wheelbarrow, dump it on top of it. Come on, get another wheelbarrow and dump it. Because it's a good size area. It's maybe like 10 by 10. And it's just spreading out. It's growing very well right now. And I can't have this ivy growing under my tree.
Because
then it's also going to start growing up the trunk, and then I have that to deal with. And ivy is a nice hideout and food source for rats. And so we're already dealing with the neighbors there. So, yeah. So I'm going to keep people posted as far as dumping fresh horse manure on invasive plants.
And something else you mentioned to me off air, and that is a thermometer.
Yes. Yeah. You know, when you have a cold frame or a little greenhouse or your hoop tunnels and whatnot, this is the first year I'm doing this. I put a thermometer in my cold frame because I have a lot of lettuces and lettuce mixes growing in there. And I was surprised on a semi-cloudy day that cold frame got up to 86 degrees. Yeah. I mean, because it's closed, I didn't keep it open. You know, the weather's been cool and whatnot, and I didn't pay too much attention. I'll open it up once in a while and water it. But when I opened it up one day, this big warm burst of air came at me. I'm like, wow, this feels pretty warm in here. And so I kept it propped open. And then the next day, got the thermometer, put it in there, and it's 86 degrees. So it's really worthwhile getting a thermometer because certain, like your cool weather plants, mm-hmm. don't want to live in 86 degree weather. So, I think a thermometer, put it in your greenhouse so you know if you have to get a fan going or open up your doors or something to keep the temperature at a consistent temperature or a cooler temperature if necessary, or you close everything up to warm it up. So, yeah, I'm finally using the thermometer.
Well, that's we're going to make sure that you follow through on this. Do you have you already purchased the thermometer?
Glenn? Yeah, it's already in the cold frame. And of course, the cold frame is propped up because it's been 80 degrees. And
third thing we wanted to talk about is dormant spring. We're already seeing things pop because of this 75 plus degree weather. For some fruit trees, it's too late to dormant spray, isn't it?
The only trees I'd be spraying are your peach and nectarine trees for peach leaf curl.
But aren't some of those peach trees already popping, showing pink buds?
Yeah, some of them are. And if they are and you haven't sprayed, then it's too late, unfortunately. Don't spray because you'll damage those flowers and that flower will just die and you won't get a peach off of it. So, you know, we should have been doing all this spraying. But, yeah, if you see color on your peach and nectarine trees, do not spray.
Dear Gwen, I cut back a lemon tree too far. Am I still able to graft onto it, or should, I guess she's calling for somebody else, or he's calling. Cut back a lemon tree too far, is he still able to graft it, or should he get rid of it?
You can graft onto, well, how far down did he cut it? To the ground? Then you can't. Unless it starts shooting up sprouts, you'll have to wait for the tree to start sprouting. And if it's the root system that's coming up, which most likely it will be, then you can use those sprouts and you could be grafting. But the rare fruit growers were telling us to be very, very cautious about taking cuttings from someone else's citrus because of this insect and disease that our citrus is starting to happen out here in Sonoma County. So, and then it's going to be quite a few years by the time you get any fruit. So if you want some fruit citrus sooner than later, you might as well just pull that plant out and start with a new one. Nice, beautiful plant that you could buy at your favorite nursery in the spring.
Joanne from Petaluma would like a word with you about her Katsura tree. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Steve and Gwen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Beautifully. How's the weather in Petaluma?
Well, it started out beautifully sunny, and now we're getting some overcast.
Yes. So. Same here in Santa Rosa. And what's with you and your Katsura?
Well, I fell in love with the Katsura tree when we went to...
Japan?
There's a botanical garden, I can't think of the name of it, over towards Sonoma, Quarry Hill.
Okay.
Quarry Hill. Yeah. Okay.
So they had them there, and so I sent off from Digging Dog Nursery to get a couple of them. And by the way, they came in really great shape. That's a great nursery to order from. And so I planted them without a gopher cage on our island, which gets a lot of sun almost all day. And it basically kind of fried. And then so the second time I planted the replacement, we put it in a gopher cage. But then it basically fried. I mean, I even had a sun umbrella, you know, guarding it for a while, and it just did not thrive there. It's a goner, and I have one left that I'm just want to get your idea about where to plant it. What kind of conditions, do you know?
It likes the same conditions as a Japanese maple. Mm-hmm. So it likes filtered sunlight or some reprieve from the hot afternoon sun, and it doesn't like wind. So if you have it in a sunny spot where it gets windy, just like a Japanese maple, it's going to suck the moisture out of the leaves, and that's how you have that burned, scorched look. They're really beautiful trees. I had years ago, but, you know, I don't know if you know me and my lack of watering.
Well, yeah, they're very drought sensitive.
Yeah, I didn't water it very well, and I actually forgot I even had it there. And, of course, it died. So, it likes a good draining soil. It likes regular watering, not as much as a redwood, but close to it. But it has to have good draining soil. It's a beautiful tree, but it needs this. It wants this. It has to have this. It's a very picky tree. Hmm. So if you have the right conditions for it, especially that planting it in a protected area where it has some filtered sunlight, but I mean more sun than shade through this filtering. You know how you can have half and half and the plants seem to do okay. Well, in order for that plant, for that tree to grow and do well, it's going to need a little bit more sun during the day than shade. But it doesn't really want that late afternoon hot sun where it can get, you know, 100 degrees.
Okay. That's so I pretty much planted it in the worst possible place.
Twice. Yeah. And what size what size did you plant? What size was the tree?
It came in a gallon container.
Okay, yeah. So it's going to take a long time to, you know, do anything, but you can even go to a 5-gallon size tree if you can find it someplace and make sure that that root system is wet before you pull it out of the pot and don't dig the hole any deeper than the depth of that root ball.
Okay.
You're just really going to have to watch that watering and put mulch on top of the ground all underneath the base. Sorry?
I did that. Okay. That's good.
Okay. But, you know, you're going to have to just watch the water and, yeah, pick another spot to plant it.
I will. I'll keep you posted because it's worth another try. It's such a beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is a beautiful tree.
I think that your tips will really help this last chance.
Okay. Okay.
And one quick other question regarding the spraying of nectarines and so forth. We have end plums. I'm looking at my trees now, and we've got just the very, very beginnings of buds with a little color. Now, is that too late?
You said with color?
Well, the plum tree has a little pink showing.
Nope.
The nectarine tree does not. It's just the buds are starting to swell.
Okay, that's a good time. When the buds are starting to swell is when I like to spray my trees, but I have to make sure that nobody's showing color. If you have one or two flowers that are showing a little color, okay, fine. You know, that's no big deal. But if you've got quite a few flowers starting to show some color, just starting to crack, and you can see color, then, you know, don't spray. Like I said, unless there's just a couple of them, those flowers are going to die, but the rest of them will be okay, and then hopefully you won't have peach leaf curl.
Yeah. Well, okay, and is it okay to trim a little bit, prune a little bit, even now?
Yeah, if it hasn't been pruned and it needs pruning, you can do it now. You can do it any time of the year, actually, but you don't want to really prune when the plant is when the tree is in full bloom. Then you take a chance of, you know, your arms or something knocking off flowers. So it's better to just not prune when the trees are in full bloom. So do it now. Winter pruning is the best time. And so
Okay. Thank you so much. And I listen every Saturday. It's part of my morning ritual. I love you guys.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thanks.
You have some great questions today. Now you're going to make me want another Ketsura tree.
Well, let's both get one, and we'll have a race.
We'll call you the Ketsura sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She's
Thanks,
on.
Joanne. Great talking with you. Back after this, it's KSRO Santa Rosa.
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Okay, I shouldn't panic, but who am I kidding? Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and I still have no idea what to do for her. I'm lucky. She forgave me for giving her that gym membership last year. Okay, think. Mandy likes, I know, La Vera Pizza. Rick always creates fantastic three-course dinners for Valentine's Day. Let me look online for his menu. LaVeraPizza.com. First course looks good. Choice of sweet potato coconut curry soup or Sonoma salad. Second course, choice of two. Chipino rockfish, red snapper, halibut, cod simmered in rich tomato broth, or short rib ravioli in herb brown butter sauce. Delicious. Dessert is always difficult for Mandy. She loves chocolate, so the chocolate heart cake with raspberry whip will be her choice. And vanilla panna cotta with raspberry currant sauce is mine. I'm calling La Vera Pizza to reserve my table today.
Treat your sweetheart to a wonderful meal at La Vera Pizza at 629 4th Street in downtown Santa Rosa. Reservation suggested.
Romance is in the air. At Montgomery Village, find gifts galore for your Valentine. From See's candies and sparkling jewelry for her, pampering pedicures and cashmere sweaters for him, to delicious dining for all. Celebrating forever love? Do something truly special. This Valentine's Day, married couples have the opportunity to look each other in the eyes and say, I do. all over again. It's the return of our annual walkthrough and renew. Valentine's evening from 5 to 7, couples are invited to walk through the Montgomery Village Bridal Archway in Village Court and renew their wedding vows. While supplies last, each couple will also be treated to Cold Stone Creamery wedding cake and a goodie bag full of treats and discounts. Come celebrate Amore this Valentine's Day by saying I do all over again at your favorite place to dine and shop, Montgomery Village, Farmers Lane and Highway 12 in Santa Rosa.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheese from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Today about a number of issues, including the fate of two now former staffers accused of domestic violence. He's questioning if they'll get due process. Another focus, a memo from Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee about FBI bias in the Russia investigation. It was written in response to a memo by Republicans on the committee.
The president tweeting, the Democrats sent a very political and long response memo, which they knew, because of sources and methods and more, would have to be heavily redacted, whereupon they would blame the White House for lack of transparency, told them to redo and send back in proper form.
ABC Stephanie Ramos in Washington. At the Winter Games, North and South Korea are taking part in the delicate sport of diplomacy, with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un inviting his counterpart to Pyongyang for a visit. Team USA still in search of its first medal. The CDC says 1 in 10 deaths last week was due to the flu or to pneumonia. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Temperatures dropping a bit today. Sunny skies at 70 degrees, 62 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 37, 44 on the shores. Some clouds for Sunday at 64, 60 in Bodega Bay. Monday, blue skies at 64, 62 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 at 94.5 KSRO.
Catch the action at Greaton. Luke Rockhold will face the number one contender, Yoel Romero, with a UFC interim middleweight title this Saturday night, 7 p.m. at Greaton Resort and Casino.
It is Garden Talk. We're back. 636-1350 if you'd like to reach us, or Steve at KSRO.com. We know that. 1105 at Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen as we welcome Mr. Stanford himself, Jeff Stanford from the Stanford Inn at in Mendocino County, the author of a brand new cookbook called The Raven's Cookbook. That's the eco-vegan restaurant adjacent to the inn, and a beautiful new cookbook. Jeff will be in to talk about vegan cuisine this morning, and also an autographed copy for one lucky Good Food Hour listener. So what seeds would be foolproof, bulletproof to start right around now?
Well, this is the time to start, you know, peppers and eggplants indoors. You could even do your tomato seeds if you want to be the second one in Sonoma County to have tomatoes, because Don's going to be number one. So the peppers and eggplants take a long time to grow. So start those seeds now, and You know, let's see, like 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost date, which here is about mid-April. So we're like mid-February, mid-March, mid-April. That's like 8 weeks. So everybody else, you can wait. If you wanted to start cucumbers and even corn, which I like to start indoors now because the quail like to come along and pull the little seedlings out of the sprouts, I should say, out of the ground when I direct sow the corn, if I don't cover it. Everybody else, you can wait. If you want to do winter squash, some of the ones that take like 100 plus days to mature, you can start those, say, at the end of this month. But right now, I would be starting eggplants and peppers and even your tomatoes. And if you wanted to wait another week or two for the tomatoes, that's fine. Squashes, like I said, the winter squashes that take a long time to mature. Everybody else, you can pretty much direct sow. You know, we have a ways to go before the warm weather comes, you know, like May, early part of May. But if you want to get some more winter vegetables out, this is a good time to do it because I'm sure the soil is really workable at this point. And if you hear that rain is coming or the cold weather or whatnot, then you just throw some frost cloth over them or make your little hoop tunnels or something. But you can still get your get some leafy greens and all kinds of, any kind of green. Radishes, peas, yeah. You can get those going now,
all right,
directly outside.
Lisa has just sent us a beautiful photo of her parrot.
Oh, finally.
Here it
yes,
is.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes, it is. That is Lotus. Looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can take some cuttings of that. I think that's what her question was.
Yeah.
Can she divide that up? But it looks so beautiful and everything. Why do you want to do that?
But if she wants to, we just saw a pretty cool YouTube video.
And so you can take some cuttings. I know, to me, it's easier to just go to the nursery and buy another plant if you want another plant. But if you want to have fun taking some cuttings, you would take all the end pieces, but I don't know when you can do it. So, Lisa, if you want to check, YouTube, Lotus Hybrids.
Yeah.
And you'll see that. And it's parrot's beak.
I think she called it
parrot's something else.
But so parrot's that's beak, what it is. B-E-A-K.
Yeah, that's the common. And there's lots of different varieties out there. Gold Rush, maybe Gold Gleam or Gold something. So it's a really beautiful plant. And I don't know when you can take cuttings, but you could snip off, 4 to 6 inches of the plant that's cascading over the pot and it's touching the ground or maybe, growing on the ground. Just go ahead and snip, snip, snip.
Another nice photo that you sent us.
Wow, she's doing really well with that plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, do a little bit of selective pruning. You don't want to cut it across the bottom. You know, you do a little, cut out a few branches so it keeps that natural look of how it's growing down the side of the pot. And maybe just stick it in some seed starting mix and, try some now. Couldn't hurt. Keep them indoors. Keep them warm. Keep them damp.
Another photo. Boy, it sure is healthy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, a ferny-like plant, and it has these orangey, parrot-shaped looking flowers. They're really cool. They almost look like honeysuckle flowers, except there's some orange and yellows in it.
Yeah.
So, maybe your cuttings could be like 4 inches long. Strip off the leaves so you have a nice clean stem that you can stick into the soil. I would probably use a rooting hormone of some sort, but use a pencil and poke a hole into the soil and then put your cutting in there. Don't just put rooting hormone on the end and then shove it down into the soil because you'll just wipe off all the rooting hormone. So stick a hole in there. Pencils work great. Stick a hole in there. Dip it in the rooting hormone. Put it in the soil. Firm up the soil around the plant. Dampen it. Keep it in a warm place, 70 plus degrees out of direct sunlight. And keep it well watered and see what happens. And if nothing happens now, then wait until spring when you get new growth and then try some of the new growth.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back and we'll chat about okra for a bit. Mitch is on the line. That's coming up next.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Smart Lipo Laser Body Sculpting removes unwanted fat by contouring the neck, arms, thighs, hips, abdomen, and even those love handles. It's a unique, comfortable, minimally invasive procedure performed under local anesthesia with stellar results.
The key to helping a patient is listening. What's really motivating them to come into our office?
Dr. Walter Tom of the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center of Santa Rosa is a specialist in smart lipo body sculpting.
It's very rewarding to help women who are frustrated because they exercise, they eat a healthy diet, and they tell me they just want to look good in their clothes.
Dr. Walter Tom is a proud diplomat of the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery and a leader in introducing new technology to the North Bay. For your free consultation, call 542-8346 or visit Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center at 70 Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
Another year has come and gone, and the whole family at Pranzini Christmas Tree Farms wants to send their warmest thanks and blessings to all their patrons and their families. In the last few months, the North Bay has gone through so many devastating challenges that have changed the lives of so many. But the new year gives us all the opportunity to work on the problems, failures, and disappointments in hopes of a new beginning for so many friends and families. The Bronzini family wishes for you that with a fresh start, new hope will bring wonderful new things. The family at Pranzini Christmas Tree Farms has been happily serving Marin and Sonoma County for the past 50 years and plans to continue the family legacy for years to come. Go to PranziniTrees.com and see what's coming in 2018. The family at Pranzini Christmas Tree Farms wishes a Happy New Year to all.
Good morning, Mitch. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm glad I'm live, and I'm glad you both are, too. So my question pertains to two things. My mom, Myrna, down in Southern California, had an ag garden where she grew stuff and met this guy who I affectionately named Okra Charlie from Mississippi. He grew two things. One was purple hulled peas, and the other was an okra plant that was has been in his family for over 110 years. I have a whole bunch of seeds that, one, I'd like to share with both of you, if either would you like some, and the purple hulled peas. But I've never grown it before, and I was of the thought process that it needs a more temperate and hotter climate. I watched his, and he was very selfish with his seeds and stuff, but before he died, he gave me some, and I don't know what the heck to do.
Okra likes hot weather. That's why it does so well in the Midwest and the South. I've grown okra the past couple of years, and some years were better than others when we had, you know, hotter summers. But I grew the varieties that were ready in like 65 to 75 days. And I figured, well, there's no, doesn't hurt anything to just sow some seeds in the ground, full sun, good draining soil, and they're either going to make it or they don't. So, you know, it's as easy as growing corn.
Okay. You, no need to start them inside. I already got my tomatoes.
No. But I would direct sow the seeds because, okay, you know, it doesn't take too long for them to start producing. But the thing is, they need consistently warm weather. They're not too fond of our cold evenings that we have. So, you know, maybe they take another couple of weeks or so longer to mature. But, yeah, because in the Midwest and in the South, the evening temperatures are still 80 degrees. So that's why,
right,
you know.
Well, down in the desert and where my mom lives in Marietta, they grew like weeds down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you need an average temperatures in the mid to low 80s or so. Mm-hmm. Also, then why they do so great on the East Coast, like South Carolina, Kentucky, where I grew up, is because you have humid nights.
Mm-hmm.
Warm nights are great also. And if you want to grow it like what Gwen just said, choose an early variety. One, I think.
Well, he
one.
Has these seeds.
He has the seeds already. Okay, yeah.
What? Well, and then have you ever heard of a purple hull pea?
Purple hull peas? Yeah, those are cow peas. They also do well down where your mom is and in the Midwest and the down south and all that. And there's lots of different varieties. There's the, you know, black-eyed peas is a variety of a cowpea. There's that purple hull. There's, Baker Creek Seeds sells quite a few varieties of these. And they don't do very well here because they really like that warm, consistent weather. And so I tried one year and I got nowhere with them. And I'm not going to plant something that's going to be picky. Or
well,
need all
that
this.
Answered my question. Thank you very much. You guys are a plethora of information, and I enjoy your show. Great.
Well, thank you. But, Mitch, if you want to try those peas, you're going to have to put them in an area where they're going to be as warm as possible. And, you know, anything is possible. I mean, so.
And okra, too.
Well, being Polish, anything's possible.
Yeah. I would try the okra. And if you want to send me, you can send me a few seeds.
Year-old seeds?
Sure. Sure, I'll try it.
Well, they're heirlooms. They're not actually 100, but they're from his great-grandfather's original crop. So I'll make sure I drop some off the station for you.
That'd be beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and then we'll have a contest here.
You're on.
Thanks so much.
Another contest I have.
And Gwen, you brought me okra the last couple of years, and the smaller ones, of course, are better because they're not as mucilaginous. And you can throw them on the grill. You can cook them in a hot cast iron pot. I had great success with them. So,
and you told me the larger ones are a little bit tougher.
They are tougher.
So I
pick them when they're about your thumb size. That's the ideal size for okra.
Okay.
Are you still growing it?
I will. Yes, I'm going to grow it this year.
Okay.
I have a burgundy colored one that I'm going to grow. I think it's called Red Burgundy.
It's called Red Burgundy. That's one of the ones that's suggested for the Bay Area because it ripens within a little cooler temperature. So Red Burgundy is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We could take a couple more calls before we close up Garden Talk, or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheese from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The 2017-18 season continues within Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center. This coming weekend is full of entertainment. On Friday, February 16th, the Grammy Award-winning Los Angeles Guitar Quartet brings a new energy to the stage. Their multifaceted performance includes bluegrass to Bach. And Saturday, February 17th, the MasterCard Performance Series spotlights Peter Yarrow and Noel Paul Stuckey. Without their beloved Mary, Peter and Paul continue as a duo, performing the group's classic hits. Then Sunday afternoon, the 18th, don't miss the voluminous silken voice of German soprano Dorothea Roschmann and esteemed pianist Malcolm Martineau. For Sonoma State University's Green Music Center tickets and more info, visit gmc.sonoma.edu.
You know, there's nothing like sinking into a luxurious hot spring spa, especially if it's in your very own backyard. Hot spring spas are the number one brand in the world, so you know there'll be a hot tub to fit your home and lifestyle perfectly. Vacation in a hot tub every day with your own hot spring spa from the Hot Tub Store. 5 locations in Santa Rosa, Vacaville, West Sacramento, Rockland, and Folsom. And online at hottubstore.com. The Hot Tub Store. Every day made better.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master. What? The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent and a low APR.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Hi, Steve and Gwen. At what temperature should I cover a Meyer lemon tree with frost cloths? Thanks, Joe.
Well, being that we had colder temperatures a couple months ago, would have been the time to cover. I would wait until you hear threat of frost coming, you know, 33 degrees or so, because it could get lower. You know, just because they say it's going to be a low of 33 degrees and a high of 65. It's always like 5 to 7 degrees lower and higher where I am. So you could throw a few layers of the frost cloth over the top of your lemon tree. And then when you know it's going to be a nice, beautiful day, then take the frost cloth off. I know it's a pain in the neck, especially if the tree's pretty tall. But if you want to protect all that, you know, top growth from getting burn back from the frost, then you'll have to do what you have to do. And it's okay if you don't take it off during the day. It'll be fine because citrus likes warm weather. So, but you don't want to keep it on all the time. It would be nice to get some air moving in there and, you know, take it off when you can and put it on when you have to. Putting it on when you have to is the most important thing.
Recapping a couple things from earlier in the show, if you just tuned in, this weekend is an Olive Odyssey, the 11th annual one today and tomorrow at a Jacuzzi Family Vineyards and the Olive Press. It's all under one roof. They're at 24724 Arnold Drive in Sonoma. And why that's really a cool thing to do is you can meet Don Landis, Olive Don, the olive guy, and see how he brines olives. He cures them naturally, doesn't use lye. There'll be snacks. There'll be things to taste, of course. There'll be olive oil tasting, and there'll be olive inspired snacks. There'll also be photographers, ceramicists, and painters. It will certainly quench your thirst for olive knowledge with Don Landis and some other folks from UC Davis. Fabulous Jacuzzi Family Vineyards wine. So it's free. Attendees can enjoy a 15% discount on the wine. Wine tasting fees apply. So that's today and tomorrow. And coming up February 13th, if you heard the earlier part of the show, we were joined by Sarah McCammett from the Seed Swap Exchange, Sonoma County Seed Swap, happening Valentine's Day Eve, February 13th at the Sebastopol Grange. That's at 6000 Highway 12 from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's free. You don't have to bring seeds to participate, but try to arrive promptly at 7. They'll run you through where the seeds are available. Participating is the Community Seed Exchange, Occidental Art and Ecology Center, the Sebastopol Grange, and Daily Acts. So a great place to exchange and learn a lot about seeds. The people that are growing the seeds, a lot of them will be bringing their donated seeds to give you some tips on successful seed growing. How about that?
Sounds good.
Hey, how about Cloverdale next week?
Yes. We'll be there.
Okay, let's choose a couple numbers.
Okay. What are my choices? Up to what?
We have 1 to 7. Give me your numbers.
6 and 4.
Caller number 6 is Joanne from Petaluma, and 4 is Joe, who just emailed about lemons. Both of you have won tickets to the Cloverdale Citrus Fair. And we'll have them at the radio station to pick up, or you can email us. We'll send them to you. If you want to send us an email, we'll mail them to you.
And remind people, those are not the order that people called.
That's
correct. Just randomly gave everybody a number, and I don't know who's who, and because, you know, we're doing this differently than we used to way back when.
We're doing it honestly, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, and actually, it's always been honest. It's just that people that call in earlier don't get priority. You can be the last caller and still win tickets. So Joe and Joanne, congratulations. Hope we'll see you up at Cloverdale.
I remember all of our guests would always pick number 7.
That's true, too.
Bye, everyone.
The Good Food Hour next with Chef John Ash.
This is FM News Talk Radio.